Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Stephen Lewis, and you are listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Teresa Halloran will join us to discuss the alchemy of inner marriage. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-host, Steve. How are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm mute.
Yeah, he's on mute. He's scrambling for the unmute button now.
Mutation.
I'll tell you what. I'm
here.
He's here.
I was doing very, very well. I was trying to set up my new mouse and headset socket. Apologies.
Oh, that's quite all right. You've got a new mouse. I've got a new cat. We should introduce this one. Well, since we have you here, why don't you share with all of us what it is that you do over at PsychicAccess.com?
Absolutely. I'm a psychic medium, which means I connect with people in spirit and provide evidence of the afterlife. We'll continue to exist once we've left the physical plane, and I really enjoy helping people with my mediumship. I'm also an astrologer. I specialize in Hermetic astrology, and I very much enjoy using my knowledge of astrology to help people understand themselves. We can never know ourselves well enough, and it's also a wonderful way of predicting when things will occur.
Outstanding. Excellent. Thank you very much. That is a very potent blending of talents. Please find Steve at PsychicAccess.com. Thank you, Steve. Now, we also have with us here tonight Dr. Nona Marie. Hello, how are you?
Good evening. I'm great, Stephen. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Excited about tonight's show topic. But before we get to the interview, why don't you share with everybody at home what it is that you do at PsychicAccess.com?
Oh, thank you. I do readings with all the other wonderful readers that work at Psychic Access. I don't use any tools. I tend to focus on predictive readings. I do a little bit of medium work, some animal readings as well for the beloved pets that we all have. And I'm just thrilled to be there and thrilled to be here.
Well, we're thrilled to have you for sure. We'll definitely hear more from you later in the banter section after this fascinating interview we got coming up. Thanks for being here tonight, Dr. Nona Marie.
Thank you.
And finally, last but definitely not least, we have Maureen here with us this evening. Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Stephen. How are you?
Oh, I'm quite excited about what you have in store for us this evening. It's going to be a fantastic interview that you have.
Yes.
But before we get to the interview, why don't you share with everyone in the audience, in the chat room, what you do at PsychicAccess.com?
What I do in my work in Psychic Access and in my life, I am an intuitive psychic empath, and I utilize tarot as my main tool, as I feel tarot is a symbolic record of human experience. And I love my work deeply. And sometimes it's very difficult, but boy, it's really nice, especially in spiritual development, when I can help somebody or others rise to the occasion so we all can come together and be better people.
It sounds lovely. By all means, everyone, please find Maureen at PsychicAccess.com. I mentioned that tonight you have a treat in store for us in this interview. Who are you going to be bringing out tonight, Maureen?
Okay, my guest tonight is Teresa Halloran. And Teresa received her MSW from the University of Utah in 1975, and she's also trained extensively with mentors and teachers all over the world, including Marion Woodman and the Marion Woodman Foundation in Canada, Switzerland, and the United States. Teresa has taught graduate courses in transpersonal psychology and echo psychology, and also process work, and she's co-created national international retreats and scarce journeys in both urban and wilderness settings on themes of healing and transformation, suffering, wisdom, and resilience, and the scarce inner marriage. So with that said, hello, Teresa.
Hello, Maureen. I'm so happy to be here.
And I am so happy you're here. I've been wanting to do a show on this topic, more so because we both have the last names. You guys can figure it out.
So I 54 years ago, I remember I was 9 years old, and I was standing at the window waiting for mom and dad to come home because I was finally going to have a sister. And I have to say, every single time that I go to visit you or you come to visit me, I have that same feeling of excitement. And now here we are, years later, and you're interviewing me on radio, and I couldn't be happier about it. So thank you, sweetie.
Oh, thanks. And, you know, you're, in addition to, us being blood related, you're a wonderful guest. You know, I mean, besides being all over the world, and your journeys, and I know one of the co-hosts, Steve too, have been all over the place, especially the Peru. You love that. But the thing is about, I've been wanting to do a show at Union, everything Union. You know how I feel about Carl Jung. But
yes,
you're the,
yes,
you, yeah. You know, this is what I wanted to say is a lot of people don't know what, I mean, you have a background and you have your own private practice and all that, but the situation about the union of Carl Jung and what he brought together, could you explain to our audience so they know, because some people, wait, what's that noise? Do you hear something?
No, I hear a phone ringing.
It's like a third person coming back in.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just keep going.
Should I wait or try to, okay. You know, Carl Jung was a colleague and for a while a disciple of Freud, but he had somewhat different ideas than, he really respected Freud. But he also believed that in the unconscious, in the material that is not completely known to us, are our greatest gifts and transformations. And he also really believed that we are essentially spiritual human beings. And so his life work was discovering how we could bring to consciousness our own authentic wholeness. And that included the individuation process of bringing to consciousness the tension of opposites, the masculine and feminine within the psyche, the divine and the human, and all the personal ways we may hold paradox. For example, I'm a person who needs my home, I need to nest, I need structure, I need to have a sense of dailiness that I can count on. But I have this whole other aspect to my nature, which is I need spontaneity and I need adventure, and I often put myself, you know, dangling at the end of a rope on a cliff or wanting to go into a whitewater hole in a kayak, and which brings me so thoroughly into the present moment. I love diverse cultures, and yet, if I don't have that anchor to home in my own community and connection with my family, I also can feel very bereft. And I'm sure that all the listeners can think about the different paradoxes they have within their own nature and how they try to live that. And often what happens as we go through life, we may emphasize certain parts of ourselves and start neglecting others. And then they start showing up as relationship conflicts or body symptoms, or our dreams will start talking to us, or we'll have certain synchronicities in our life that tell us we need to start tending to these other parts of our nature again. So, you know, the topic of Jung is really large, but I would really like to talk a little bit about my teacher and mentor as we go through this discussion, who was trained by Carl Jung, and that's Marianne Woodman.
Right.
So I'm wondering if we should also start about talking about the sacred inner marriage and about this
yes.
topic.
Yes. How about we start with that and bring the Marianne, because it is important. People may not know who she is, but yes. So the sacred marriage, if you could explain, so our listeners can understand, because some people say, well, we married somebody else. Or so.
you know, Plato, through Aristophanes, had this mythic story where he said there used to be, at the beginning of time, this incredible round being with two heads, four legs, and four arms, signifying wholeness and androgyny. And this being was possessed with such enormous power and creativity and illumination that the gods and goddesses got jealous, and they split this being in half. And ever since, we have been in search of this other half, in search of our own wholeness. Mm. And there's a quote from Rumi that says, "Lovers don't finally meet. They're in each other all along." You know, and to be in this human life, all of us have experienced many deaths and rebirths, loss, challenges. The life that we had intended to live doesn't turn out the way we thought. And we have an opportunity in those moments to turn our suffering, our losses, our challenges into the gold of transformation. And one of the ways of accomplishing that is through the sacred intermarriage. And the most basic definition of that is that we all have within us, men and women alike, what are called feminine and masculine energies. And this is not about gender. It's not about sexual preference. It's not about gender identity. You know, some people describe it as yin and yang energies, or lunar and solar, or if you studied Hindu mythology, Shiva and Shakti energies. You know, I'm trying to think, Maureen, what do you think would be the best place to start with this? Should I be defining this, or do you have some questions for me?
Well, no, but, you know, the interesting part is that a lot of us don't think, and I follow you in the yin and the yang and anything else you want to call it, but the thing of it is, I feel that it'd be really great to start out with your work with, who is Marianne Woodman? Let's go to her.
Okay. Well, Marianne Woodman, I first encountered her in the 80s, and she wrote a series of books on how to bring the feminine and masculine principle to consciousness within men and women. And the first book I read was called The Pregnant Virgin, The Process of Psychological Transformation in Women. And I was in my early 30s, I'm now 63, and I thought, what the hell is she talking about? I couldn't understand it through my intellect, but what I noticed is that my dreams started changing. So I knew something very powerful was happening. And she had a severe eating disorder all through her 20s. She was the daughter of a minister. She grew up in Canada. She was not allowed to dance. And wow. One day when she was in Toronto, she tried to hail a cab. I think she was in her early 40s at this time. And she couldn't get a cab to stop for her. And so she heard a voice in her head that said, "Marianne, if you don't even have enough being in your body to stop the cab, you need to go to India." Now you'd say that's quite a leap to go to India because you can't hail a cab. But she trusted that inner voice, and she took off on a trip around the world, and she ended up in India. And like for many of us, we think that's going to be the experience, but it was actually the beginning of her journey. So she was in India, and while she was there, she got so ill that she almost died. And she was alone in her hotel room. And to try to hold on to herself, she was reading Shakespeare and she was reading the Bible. And she kept reading her passport so she could remember her name. And she got so ill that at one point she floated up above her body and she looked down at herself and she realized, "I treat my dog better than I treat my own body." And that was a complete epiphany for her. So when she was finally well enough, she walked into the hotel lobby and she was with her journal and she was sitting down to write to her husband. And she was very frail, felt very introverted. And all of a sudden, this very beautiful, voluptuous, dark-skinned Indian woman came down and sat on the couch next to her. And she said it wasn't a very large couch, but she wanted some space. And the Indian woman sat down right next to her. So she thought, what is going on here? So she scooched over, and the woman scooched over right next to her. So she scooched over again, and the woman scooched right next to her. And she said she had such a confusion in herself because part of her was going, I want my space, stay away from me. And then she realized that this warm, life-giving energy was just pouring into her body after she had been so ill. So this repeated itself for the next 3 days. And finally, on the third day, when she was feeling so much better, this man came up to her and he said, I can see that you are better now, and I no longer need to send my wife to you.
Oh, my gosh.
Said, well, who are you? And he said, I run this hotel, and I saw that you were dying, so I sent my wife to be with you. And she said that was one of her first experiences of feeling the healing power of the feminine. But here's this man, his masculine discernment assessed the situation, and out of enormous kindness and compassion of both these people, his masculine discernment and her feminine related generosity, Marion felt like her life turned towards healing again. So I tell that story as a way maybe now to introduce what I mean about the feminine and the masculine. So the feminine, you know what, Maureen, I think what I want to do first before I define these things is maybe to invite our listeners into a very brief inner work exercise. Would that be okay?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So all the listeners out there, as a way to introduce these concepts, we understand the masculine and feminine energies by how we know men and how we know women. Our first experience with our fathers, our first experience with our mothers, our friends, our siblings, and also through popular culture. You know, like there was a period of time when you could say Laurence Olivier maybe was the epitome of positive masculine or the great lover. Now somebody may say George Clooney. Now, I'm dating myself because I'm in my 60s. And Maureen, who would you say would be the epitome of positive masculine in pop culture?
Well, you know, I like the Robert Downey Jr. I just like the underdog.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Definitely Robert Downey Jr. And he plays this mythic heroic figure, too, in the Iron Man series. So what I want to invite our listeners to do is if, whether you're a man or a woman, and Maureen, you can do this, and also your co-leaders also.
Yeah.
I want you to imagine a woman that you're very drawn to, whether you're a man or a woman. And this woman might be somebody that delights you or that you're envious of or even who might irritate you. But it's a woman that you have some energy towards. And she might be somebody you know, and she might be somebody that you've read about, or she might even be a TV or a movie character, or maybe a political figure. It doesn't matter. And just trust your first instinct.
Okay.
And then once you imagine that woman, when she comes to mind, and some people are very visual and some people will have more of a kinesthetic feeling about this. So I really want you to study this woman. How does she move? How does she speak? How does she dress? Is there a scene that you see her in? How do you relate to her? So just notice all of that.
Okay.
Study her and feel into her. And now imagine for a brief moment, you know, in our human imagination is a great thing. Imagine that you are this woman. How are you in the world? How do you speak? How do you relate? How do you move? Just notice all that.
I like this. Okay, I got it.
And then ask yourself, where in my life do I need this energy? And now, to give you an example of that, the woman who comes to mind for me, and it's very poignant right now because this woman has recently died, is Maya Angelou. And the first time I experienced Maya Angelou, I was in my 20s, and I was in graduate school, and I heard that this poet was coming in to speak in the Art and Architecture Building. And at that time, this is about 40 years ago, I did not know who she was. And I walked into the auditorium, and there was this Amazonian African-American woman with a headdress and beautiful colored like a bikini on. And I was struck by her. But if I imagine now being Maya Angelou, I imagine that I am really at home in my body. I imagine that I move with grace and sensuality, and I also imagine that I can speak my truth. And as I'm saying that, because the listeners cannot see me, I imagine moving my right hand in a very up and down discerning movement as my feet are planted firmly on the earth. And so I feel like a woman who's strong and whole and very sensuous. And I remember reading, you know, that she even kicked somebody out of her dining room because she didn't like how they were gossiping about somebody. So I need her in many places in my life. So Maureen, who came to mind for you?
Somebody that I know, I've never met on a physical, but we're very close. Do I need to say her name? She's a woman that's helping me right now, and I've become very close to her, more than just helping me in my work, but helping me be close and trust again.
Uh-huh. And if you imagine now where you need her qualities, I mean, so these are qualities of she's trustworthy, she's related.
Yes. And it's a hard thing sometimes when we can't trust, especially in in the female, when I'm thinking about in females, right?
And I
have doubt sometimes that it's in my own thought head form, and by opening up to her more about all the darker parts of myself, she has no problem with who I am. I feel accepted.
This woman sounds lovely. Uh-huh. So you're actually illuminating, and I wish I could ask more of our listeners who came to mind for them, but you're illuminating some of the definition of what the feminine principle is.
Okay.
And these words, feminine and masculine, are actually archetypes. And you can think of an archetype as the DNA is to the body, archetypes are to the psyche. And archetypes maybe are like a magnet underneath a piece of paper, and then all the images, energies, if you imagine the magnet, pulls them into a coherent structure. So the feminine principle prefers process to product, meandering and enjoying the pleasure of the journey. It's a presence in the body. It's feeling the connection among things rather than the separateness. The feminine really receives who another person is and can receive the cry of the planet to the cry of the soul. The nature of the feminine is to recognize, experience, receive, and nurture the whole. And one of the most amazing things about the feminine, and I mentioned this when we first started talking, is the capacity to hold paradox. So when I listen to you talk about this woman, you feel like she really understands you, like she can really relate to you in a deep way. And, you know, Maureen, and I also experienced that in you as my sister and with the counsel that you've given me. I feel like you really see into me and really support me, like in the places where I'm still at 63 years old, scared and lost. And also you see the wisdom that has been growing in me. Because of everything that I've been through in life. And I hope I mirror that to you, too.
Yes, you are.
So, now the masculine, before I define what that is, I like, if you're a man or a woman, and Maureen, you actually did this very spontaneously with Robert Downey Jr., so to picture a man that you're drawn to, maybe somebody you know, maybe a mythic figure, maybe a character, a play, a movie, a book.
Okay.
It might be somebody you're envious of. But really study that man. Study him in the scene he's in. Study how he relates, how he speaks. And then imagine that you are this man in the world, relating, making decisions.
Okay.
And really feel into what that's like. And then ask yourself, where do I need this energy?
Okay.
Maureen, do you want to say anything? Maybe Robert Downey Jr. again? It might be somebody
else. Well, yeah, but no, but then I decided I went towards Eckhart Tolle.
Eckhart Tolle. Okay, speak about him.
Well,
what do you experience when you're him?
Peace. I experience peace and gentleness.
Mm. Yeah. That, and it's a really interesting thing with Eckhart Tolle. By the way, I have a really funny statement about that I heard from Eckhart Tolle. He said, I heard him say recently that most of us are only present enough to not bump into furniture. And I think what this sacred inner marriage work is about becoming more present to just what is in the moment. Of course,
right.
He's famous for that, right? The power of now and a new earth. And I'm actually going to have the good fortune of going to one of his retreats in Australia in November, so it's interesting to bring him up. But the other thing I want to notice, when I was talking about Maya Angelou and now you talking about Eckhart Tolle is a man who really has an integrated feminine in him. And Maya Angelou is a woman who has a lot of integrated masculine. So the masculine principle moves towards a goal in a straight line, is quick to act, differentiates the opposites, separates, discriminates, endures, overcomes, strives, creates. And you can see now, if you think about these feminine and masculine energies, they are not either or. We need this ability to hold paradox, and we need the capacity to cut with a clean sword and say, no, this, not that. This is who I am, not that. So the masculine principle allows us to act from that delineation. Now I want to talk about how the masculine and feminine work together. I traveled in Peru in the early 2000s, and I was very fortunate to be in training with the Caro shamans there and did a couple of treks, the Inca Trail, but also to Mount Salcantay, which is considered the feminine mountain. And one of the things I was learning was about their cosmology. And they, well, here's what they say. They say Pachamama, which is such a beautiful word. That is their word for the Earth Mother. Pachamama, she is our mother, and all life flows from her. So there's the feminine principle, which they consider the ground. And then they say the Apu mountain spirits, which are the masculine energy to them, because they rise straight up from the earth. And in gratitude, they melt the waters of their glaciers to feed her nourishment, her flowers and her trees and her lakes and her rivers. And so their understanding of cosmology is that first there's the feminine, the grounded being. We need to know who we are and what we value. And the value is not just emotion, because sometimes emotion can be reactive. But if I know, for example, nobody on this planet would say that we value destroying our water and our air. Everybody would value clean water, clean air, you know, the beauty of our natural habitat. We would value that. But if we're grounded in that value, which is the feminine principle, then we would take action based on that. And that is the masculine. So first we know what we value, who we are, and then take action. What we've done too much of on this planet, and this is both men and women have done this, we operate from what's called a patriarchal principle, which means we act from power rather than value or love. So Marianne Woodman says that consciousness is trying to move from power to love. And that's a very important task on our planet right now. You know, so for example, the feminine principle realizes that if the rainforests get cut down in South America, you can't breathe in California and I cannot breathe in Utah. And that is not just a metaphor, that is a reality. And the feminine principle knows that. So then the masculine would move in to protect the source of our clean air, to take action or to make laws or to make sure that we live in harmony with our deepest values. Does that make sense, Maureen?
Well, it makes sense to me because what you're saying is if we're connected with the aspects within ourselves, it doesn't matter what gender or whatever, we're all collectively connected, that we all can make...
Yeah.
Is that what you
right.
is that what my understanding
yes.
is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and well, so I'm saying whether you use the phrase yin and yang or masculine and feminine.
Yeah.
Now, the reason Marianne's life work was about naming these masculine and feminine energies is she said they would show up in our dreams as men and women. So, for example, a few years ago when I was... considering doing a training in Switzerland with the Marianne Woodman Foundation. And I was trying to figure out if it was right for me. And I frequently go to my dreams, which I feel are truly gifts from the soul. And I have this dream. There's a comatose man lying on the earth whose heart was bleeding. So there you would say, in my dream world is an image of my own wounded masculine. And at that time of my life, I think I was living, I'd been through a breakup, I was living kind of frenetically, I was pushing myself too hard, I was being way too busy. And so I have this dream that there's a comatose man lying on the earth whose heart was bleeding. And Marianne was to the left of me, and I turned to her and asked her for help. She came over to me, kneeled down next to the wounded man. And I remember this because it just seemed like such a reverent act. He was just lying on the earth. And then she told me to put this beautiful green cloth over his wound. You know, and the green is the color of fertility and life. It's also the color of the heart chakra. So I did that. And then she said to me, his heart is now a drum. And in the dream, I knew that I could play beautiful music with this drum. So I just very gently started beating his chest with the green cloth that had now become a drum, just slowly, steady, mother heartbeat rhythm. And all of a sudden, this man filled with energy, and he came back to life. And in the dream, it was like this utter transformation. And then Marion and I and a group of white-haired women, and my hair is beginning to turn white.
It's not.
Began dancing and singing around the man who was coming back to life. And then I saw the Swiss Alps in the background. So I knew I was supposed to go and do that retreat. But this dream has what I would call intermarriage material. And how we work on the intermarriage is through our dream images, our relationship conflicts and our body symptoms, and our creativity. So in this dream, there's the wounded masculine that needs the healing, nurturing of the feminine. But what is also significant is the feminine that comes in is also the wise, older feminine. And there are three archetypal energies of the conscious feminine. So is it okay if I talk about those, Maureen? Right,
yes, absolutely. You know what? Yes, absolutely. Let's go for that.
Okay. So the three archetypes of the conscious feminine are the mother, the virgin, and the crone. So the mother does not mean necessarily being a literal mother, but it means our relationship to our own bodies. And this is for both men and women. And how we relate to our own bodies is also related to how we treat the body of the earth. So if I really pay attention to my own signals, how much energy do I have today? Am I in pain? Am I hungry? Am I filled with life and I want to dance or sing? My body is my oldest friend, my steadiest companion, and being grounded in the presence and reality of my body in this moment is where I need to be to even begin to understand the conscious feminine. And the metaphor I use sometimes is if we think of a horse, a beautiful horse, I love horses, and the horse has been traveling a great distance, pulling a cart behind it or some kind of a burden or maybe a rider, and there's a destination in mind. But the weather has been difficult, some things have happened along the way, and the journey has been taking longer and longer. But still, the driver, the rider on the horse, wants to get there at a certain time. And then the horse collapses. The horse needs rest. And the horse
Teresa, I'm sorry. Yeah. I want to make sure I need to do a quick commercial from psychicaccess.com.
Okay.
I want to stop at that point. So that would be easy for us to go back. Is that okay? So we'll be right back with Teresa Hollerin in a moment after this commercial break.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
Okay, we're back with Teresa Hollerin, and we're talking about a great subject about intermarriage. And we were just talking about, Teresa, I apologize for interrupting. You were talking. Can you bring us back into where we were?
Well, we left that horse on the ground. Okay.
So maybe prior to the horse. Maybe.
This is how we are. We want to get to our destination. If you imagine the horse is our own body, the horse collapses. The horse needs rest. The horse needs water. And the rider has some choices. You start beating the horse because getting to the destination is the most important thing. And I know even to think about that image makes me sick, and yet I know I've done it to myself. Or do we say, wait a minute, we need to stop and deal with what's happening with this horse right now. And we bring water and we bring food and maybe we sit with the horse and we stroke its flank and we say, this is good for now. So that would be an example of how to be grounded in the conscious mother, the rhythms of your own body, the rhythms of life, the seasons of life. And then the virgin archetype, you know, we've all heard the idea that a virgin is a woman without a man. That is not the definition of a virgin. The virgin, and now think about this, whether it's a woman or the feminine within a man.
Right.
The virgin is the feminine that's whole, or a woman whole unto herself. She knows who she is. She knows what she values. She's not just about pleasing others or trying to mold herself into someone who might be acceptable or be loved. And that's very rigorous work, to really find out, who am I and what do I value? Not the values I inherited, but what do I think, what do I feel? And then the third archetype of the feminine, and this is a lifetime's work, is the crone. Now, many people don't like that word. They think of hag or some grumpy old woman. But the true meaning of the word crone is crown. So it's the crowning of a life. And the crone is the feminine that's been through so many crossroads, so many deaths and rebirths. She's known struggle. She's known loss. And she no longer comes from judgment. She can mirror people. She can see clearly, but she does not judge. She may be fierce. Mm-hmm. Like Maya Angelou carries that. Where she says,
I like to be a crone hag, whatever.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, and you know, it does take a lifetime to grow. You know, it takes going through hell and back. It takes a lot of alchemical work to grow into being a crone. The first crone I ever saw was a man named Dick Olney. He's one of my first teachers in the early 80s, a huge man. He studied Gestalt and bioenergetics, and he was a poet and a philosopher. And I did these two-week intensives with him in Berkeley on self-acceptance. And there was a Catholic priest in my group, and he was in his 60s, and he had fallen in love with a woman, and he was in anguish, because he took his vows very seriously, and yet his heart had completely opened with this woman that he loved. And he was on the ground sobbing, and I saw Dick, this huge man, sit on the ground with him and scooch right next to him and put his big arms around him and just rock this man and hold him as this man wept.
Lovely.
And that was my first experience of what I would call crone energy.
Right.
As he helped this priest hold without judgment, hold the paradox of his anguish.
Right.
So, you know, there's so much to be said about all of that. But I also, you know, I know we don't have much time here. And I also want to talk about the archetypes of the positive masculine,
right,
which are in both men and women.
Right. So that sounds fantastic.
Is that a good place to go to, Maury?
I feel, okay. Yeah, because the time we have, so I feel that would be great, okay, if we could get that out there. Yes, absolutely.
So there's a book called King, Warrior, Magician, Lover by Gillette and Moore. That's their last names. And there's also really great work by a Jungian analyst named Robert Johnson. Robert Johnson is probably in his early 90s now. And he's written books called He, She, and We. So obviously he about the masculine, she about the feminine, and we about the myth of romantic love. And what he means by that is true human love is love that's past the projections we have on one another. And it's this sacred intermarriage work that allows us to see the reality of who the other person is. And again, you know, this could be women who love women, men who love men, men and women, or actually in any relationship that's not even a lover relationship. But I would recommend reading Robert Johnson. I love his work. But I think for the purposes of this discussion, I really like this king, warrior, magician, lover. So the king, as an aspect of the masculine principle, is about order, reasonable and rational patterning, stability and centeredness. And the king looks towards others and their weakness or gifts with a kindly eye. The king has the capacity to promote others. He rewards people. He encourages creativity. Can you imagine having a boss like this? Or a father like this?
Yes, lovely. Like this? Yes.
Again, this is in both men and women. So it's people who carry authority, and they don't do it just from the power. They are empowered, but they don't just do it from a power principle. They are really for supporting the best in the other. Trying to think of, I'm looking at the time, so I'm going to move through this. The warrior is a total way of life. And one of the masculine figures that I came up with when I did the inner exercise, this is a Hollywood movie, but I fell in love with this character. It's The Last Samurai. And it was the character played by Ken Watanabe. He was Hashimoto, I think, was his name. Mm-hmm. But he was such a magnificent archetypal warrior because he absolutely knew what he was fighting for. It wasn't about his own ego. It was a transpersonal, something greater than himself. And he was still connected to the feminine values of beauty and relatedness. So it's aggressiveness that arouses and motivates. There's a capacity to leap into battle, a vitality of energy. But it's grounded in clear thinking. And the true warrior has a realistic assessment of his abilities. And that's the difference between warrior energy and a hero, heroic energy. Because sometimes heroes go off pell-mell, fighting the dragon, but they don't really assess what their limitations are. The warrior is concerned with skill and accuracy, not bravado. And the training of the mind and body are essential. So warriors often have a meditation practice. They're able to go within and center themselves. Then the magician is the next aspect of the conscious masculine. And maybe the best way to describe that is, I don't know how many of you saw, it's an old movie now called The Right Stuff. And John Glenn, I think he was played by Ed Harris in the movie. He's circling the globe, and something goes wrong with the ship, and it starts sparking, and it's really terrifying scenes. And then you cut to these Aboriginal magicians, medicine men in Australia, and they are doing this ritual with fire. So they are sending light and sparks into the cosmos to meet up with the light and sparks that are flashing off the spaceship. And you can see in that image how the magicians are transmuting the terror, something that's going wrong, to this spiritual support. So it's the ritual elder who can guide the process of transformation, who could show up in the darkest times. It's Merlin with King Arthur. The early alchemists were magicians. Magicians are also bullshit detectors. They can stand back and observe. They're thoughtful. They're wise. And they often come in the time of crisis. And then the last archetype I want to make sure and cover is the lover. So the lover, this is not gigolo. It's not somebody who's just seducing a lot of women. The lover energy has such strong, positive ego structure that it is the intermediary among all the other archetypes, the king, the warrior, and the magician. The lover energy in the masculine is related, connected, alive, enthusiastic, compassionate, energized. They have a sense of meaning and purpose, and they're interested in the search for meaning and purpose. So that you could say, Maureen, that they keep all the other archetypes attached to life.
Right.
And they're about spontaneity and joy. And the lover longs for a better world for others and ourselves. And you know, it's also the lover that understands the alchemical power of poetry, of a beautiful painting, a symphony, the dance. You know,
right.
It's the arts that can shift our consciousness in a flash. You know, we are so fortunate that we have access to the great poets just across the centuries now. You know, that's where our technology has really served us. But I really wanted to give you an overview of how to look at these different archetypes. Do you have any questions for me? Because I'm aware we probably have about 5 minutes.
Well, you know, I would like to know is if somebody, you know, listening to this, and I, from where I'm sitting, I feel it's extremely important to be able to take this into consideration. Anybody, you know, there's a lot of things, there's self-help things to do this or that, but for this, because it's union, it makes so much sense because we're collectively connected, all of us, that it would make sense that we would want to pay attention to allowing ourselves to bring the mask in or be mindful or how to integrate, be aware of, integrate, whatever it is, privately, whatever, to bring it together, how it would make such a difference to our relationships, to our world, to ourselves, to our relationships with ourselves.
Absolutely, yes.
So if someone was to say, listen, well, okay, I've heard all this, what you're saying, what would you suggest a person might do you named one book, but it was an easy or a friendly, user-friendly type of, you know.
Yeah, I actually would recommend Robert Johnson's He, She, and We.
Okay.
And Marion Woodman has a CD set called Sitting by the Well.
Okay.
That you can get through SoundsTrue.com, which I think would be excellent. And also, she did a TV series on men and women with Robert Bly, the poet.
Oh,
and
okay.
They worked with a fairy tale called The Maiden King, and there is a book by that name that both Robert Bly and Marion Woodman have written together.
Okay.
And the other thing I would highly recommend, if you go to the mwoodmanfoundation.org, there's a link there for a film about Marion Woodman's life because there's so much to say about her. She's in her mid-80s right now. She's really a pioneer.
Right.
And it's called Dancing in the Flames. And she does such a good job in that film of talking about how she found her own authentic life. There's a quote by Carl Jung that says, that which you do not bring to consciousness comes to you as your fate.
Yeah.
That which you do bring to consciousness, whether it was what you thought you wanted, that means your ego wanted, or not, is your destiny. You know, Gandhi's a good example of this, where he, you know, I don't think he set out to, you know, the nonviolent movement in India, but that became his destiny. So why this is important, you know, I find myself feeling really pissy about the man in my life.
Right.
And I'll say to myself, huh, what is it that the man inside of me needs to do for me? You know, you put on your website that story of, you know, this was about 30 years ago where I fell madly in love with an adventurer. And when we broke up, I was so bereft and angry and critical of him. And then when I had a dream that told me I needed to take my own hand and become an adventurer and not project that onto that particular man.
Right.
Now we are friends to this day because I was able to do that work.
And you've sure been going to a lot of great, cool adventure places, I must
that's
say.
That's right. Yeah.
So, you know, Teresa,
there's so much more to say, but I think we're done, aren't we?
Well, you know, yes, and I do want to tell, I would like to tell, and I really appreciate you, I mean, as my sister dearly, and not only that, as who you are and what you reflect. You know, you and I are colliding our worlds now too, just like Mariah's in the chat room.
Yeah.
Mariah's in the chat room, by the way, Teresa. She's been here the whole time listening to the show. And that's my daughter, everybody. And she's at Columbia and she's colliding now also. But I would like to tell everybody, and on your guest page you can find it, but Teresa's website is mountainlotuscounseling.com. So if anybody wanted to contact you or find out what's going on in your upcoming, you know, schedule, they can find that out. It's a beautiful new website. So please do so. And Teresa, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I love it. I just have to say hi to Mariah.
She said hi to you.
I love that she's in the chat room. And I wish I could have seen and met every single one of you. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you, Maureen.
Thank you, Teresa, so much. And have a great evening. Get some good rest.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Lovely. Thank you very much for that fascinating interview. Healing and helping must run in the family. By all means, find out more about Teresa Holleran at mountainlotuscounseling.com. Before we get to the banter, I would like to take a moment to make a few announcements. We want you to stay tuned for the second hour of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychic. So we're definitely far from done here. We have a whole other hour left, and we're going to announce the call-in number later, so be sure to have your pen and paper handy. If you couldn't catch last week's show, Beyond Human, hosted by yours truly, you'll find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. We want to connect with as many of you as possible, so please share that link. Also, be sure to visit psychicbloggers.com to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development to soulmate seeking and everything in between. Psychicbloggers.com. If you need a free reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Every psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. It's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. And again, if you have never registered there before, you get a free 6-minute reading at psychicaccess.com. Do not miss out. All of the co-hosts here on psychicaccesstalkradio.com work at Psychic Access. And if you need a personal reading with any one of us, be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. Incidentally, site owners, webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading from traffic referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, invite your friends to join us in the chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everyone, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Back to you, Maureen.
I love it when you go into that. It's just so professional. I'm like, I feel like I'm, you know, anchoring a...
Hey, you're the queen bee here.
No, whenever you say it, well, whoever's anchoring the show, it's like, back to you.
Yeah, well, you got to touch your finger to your ear like you're on, like you're listening to the ISP,
right? Exactly. And then I go, I learned the hard way. I go, I'm not going to be on mute because I want to ease my way right. Oh, thank you, Steve. Because I, a couple times here, back to you. Okay, thank you, Steve.
Sure.
Well, I hope everybody enjoyed this topic. This is a topic that I had wanted to do for years now on archetypes of Jungian, Carl Jung, everything like that. And so this was my sister, but she was the best guest for the taking because I said so, because of her background, which is completely different than mine. But I noticed my daughter was in the chat room, and here we have another generation of somebody that, as you all know, because I brag about her. Okay, I do. You guys got that. Because she's over at Columbia Ivy League University getting a specialized program they just began offering spirituality with psychology, but she's a neuroscience major, so the science is blending with things that before she couldn't deny, like what I do. There's no science to back up a lot of things, what all of us do, but there is now a big change happening. So it was really lovely having Mariah in here as well. She looks like she's still here. So I want to start out with, you know, Stephen, as far as you're concerned, is it important for you? Did you follow what the male, the archetype of the male and the female aspect of ourselves?
Absolutely, I did. To me, that was one of the more interesting angles of the show. You know, I'm always fascinated in that stuff because you always hear people say, you know, refer to the idea of being a whole person, you know, and so it begs the question, what does it mean to be whole? And, you know, my uneducated opinion, I'm not a psychologist, you know, but my feeling on the matter is that to be whole means to have a healthy balance of both poles, the masculine and the feminine. You know, the electric, aggressive urge to take initiative represented by the masculine versus the magnetic, which is a different, it's the same magnitude of power. It's just sort of going in the opposite direction, it seems. At least that's the impression that I get. You know, the feminine has a pulling power. It pulls things into its orbit. And I think to be a whole human being, we have to have both of these elements in some sort of a balance, but inside of us somehow. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, right. And also, you know, Carl Jung was a firm believer, you know, we're all born with the psychic inheritance. And I'm on board with that because we all are. And he did some research on that. And he was, like I said, I adore Jungian everything. I adore the whole idea behind the persona, the masks we wear, the things that go on. And, you know, talking about this, the scarce, you know, the alchemy in an intermarriage, it's a pretty, you know, the yin and the yang, everything else like that. But if mm-hmm. we could focus on that, women and men would not be maybe in such chaos. I don't know. Or I wouldn't be so tormented by never wanting to be with another man in my life, for one, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Because I think our society tends to go overboard with one end of the mm-hmm. pole, and it ignores the other one to our detriment. You know, Dr. Jung, he observed that just like a human being can have mental problems, the entire collective, a group, a mass, yeah. a nation can have mental problems. You know, he made these comments after the horrors of Nazi Germany, which he witnessed. But, you know, the same, we see it happening at Jonestown down in Guyana back in the 70s, where that nut job got about 1,000 people to drink poisonous Kool-Aid. We saw it with Pol Pot in Cambodia. So what I want to know is, wow, you know, if that body of images, the archetypes, if it gets sick somehow, feverish, febrile, and atrocities result, well, can we engineer that bedrock of images and archetypes to not only be unsick, but to be robust with health? What kind of world would we live in if we could affect that?
I don't know. Maybe it would just be a perfect world and we'd have a nervous breakdown. I don't know.
It seems naturally to go in the opposite direction, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I guess that's the way it is. But, you know, we do have to come to a grip of torment before, or really opening up to, the, you know, I always call it the dark night of the soul. And we all know, well, my favorite book in the world, The Dark Night of the Soul. But to go through that, it's a very disturbing place to go through. But on the other hand, you do find your way in connecting with that aspect. I feel my sister was talking about the masculine and feminine, both parts. I'm more the masculine energy completely. I think that's, and that's not because, you know, I walk around woo-woo. I do it to protect myself. And again, that's coming from a sense of false ego, I feel. But I don't know. You know, Steve says that's gross. No, I'm joking. We all know what I secretly, no one else, that's a, whatever. Everybody get a good kick out of that. No, Steve, so I had to, I just had to say that. Steven, thank you.
Sure, my pleasure.
So how about Marie? Hi, Marie. Oh, Nona.
Hey.
Marie. Sorry. Marie, Nona Marie.
It's all good.
It's all good, Dr. Nona Marie. Now, you know, you being an academia, like the rest of my family, except for, I'm not. But what are you familiar with what the topic show topic was about?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And taught it for years.
Yeah.
In the 90s and stuff. So, yeah, very familiar. And she did a wonderful job covering it. It was excellent.
And you, do you find, if you were to tell somebody, it's kind of like if you sit down with somebody, You know, my favorite type of readings, really, my readings, I really, you know, I'm going to say my favorite. I'm not saying I don't like anything else, but it's when people are looking or seeking or searching for something they want to find their inner, you know, spiritual work. They want to do some spiritual work. They're open. I find that to be the most rewarding for myself anyway, to help people. So if somebody was to talk to you about this, do you think it's important for a particular individual, Nona, if you were trying to say, you know, to get in touch with your, you know, the masculine, whatever, alchemy of inner marriage, what would you simplify it? Because it could be kind of maybe complicated. People might go, who cares? You know, who cares? How important is it?
Well, I don't, first of all, I don't know if it can be simplified or if it should be simplified.
Right.
But I know I address it from the perspective of if people are not having successful love relationships or even successful parenting relationships, that we have to look at what are their images, what are the energies they carry about what it is to be a man and what it is to be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And from that perspective, if we look at that and start to heal it, it will shift all of our relationships, especially the relationship with ourselves. And saying that to people almost always opens up a flurry of discussion of, well, you know, my dad was really mean, or my mother was absent, or some commentary about the role model that people grew up with that was not ultimately the best role model. And then kind of a light bulb of saying, gosh, you know, I guess I really don't know what it is to be a mom, a wife, a girlfriend, a lover, a man, et cetera, because I've never seen it.
Right.
So I think bringing it up like that in short-term readings, hopefully people will go seek out some information and start doing some reading and some self-work on it. I don't think it can be covered deeply in a short reading at all, but I think it's vital, absolutely vital, because one of the things we never do examine is who are we acting like when we're a man or a woman? We don't even know. We've never thought about it.
Yes, I agree with that. You know, it's also like the inner marriage of what we're talking about tonight, or, you know, in the topic, is like the transformation of the base matter, the personality, into spiritual gold. That was a process Carl Jung called the individualization, right? So we, like myself, it's hard to let go of false images of ourselves, because it's often created by what we're talking about, the environment, or what's projected from our parents, friends, lovers, whoever, we're, you know, our environment. So if we can let go of the persona, that protective mask, and I know I'm very aware of my protective mask that we put on our face in the world, and it's not one that I'm doing because I want to deceive people. It's my, you know, it's my junk. But until we face the shadow or the darkness of our own inner negativity is when we can really start finding our way. And being, you know, we're not kind to some parts of ourselves. We don't love ourselves. Well,
I agree. Yeah, I totally agree. It's kind of part of a lot of your question that in America, anyway, people do not seem to cherish shadow work at all.
Right.
It's almost like an anathema, like, ugh, you know, I just want to know when is going to be over and when is it going to, quote, work out, whatever work out means. And there's not much relishing, you know, what I call Roto-Rooter work, you know, cleaning out the gunk, the pure crap that we build up in ourselves. Because when we do that work afterwards, the quality of life is so unbelievably better that you can't even imagine.
Right. You're right. You're right. But nobody wants to do any. Well, I guess if we have if we lived in a perfect world, we wouldn't have to do it because that would be perfect, but we don't. And
right.
I'm always up for facing the dark night of the soul. I've been some couple of times throughout my life, 20, doing my work, well, open to my work professionally. It's reared its head when it's time, like, yet again, to go through it. But it is incredible. And then I get back down into a place where I need another kick in the butt. But you're talking about to do the shadow work, absolutely. And it's not a Roto-Rooter thing. You've got to have commitment to it and also be okay about the things that you have to be completely, you got to be vulnerable and open yourselves up and just what's the word? Give yourself permission to go through it.
Right.
Completely
and
commit to it.
It keeps us really humble also,
yeah,
because
absolutely.
No matter how brilliant, great, or fabulous we are, we also are just human, and mm-hmm. we have all these quirks and all these things that we need to grow through, and it's a good thing to be reminded of our humanity. And
absolutely.
I think Shadow says that.
Absolutely. I mean, so, you know, you heard it over here now, everybody. So let's all rise to the occasion. And, you know, actually, I've been seeing more and more of this, or being talked about, like, or at least being reached out through my private practice. I've had mm-hmm. a couple recently, very interesting, in the past, I don't know, 4 weeks, people connecting with me, finding me and asking me if I can help them with their spiritual connection mm-hmm. of finding. And it's lovely. I've been getting requests like that type of readings or working with them. And I find that really mm-hmm. lovely for me anyway. I feel really, mm-hmm. you know, it's a nice thing. Thank you, Marie. And Steve, hi. He's not muted. I know he's not.
I'm here.
I know you are. Steve, so how are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Maureen. I love the interview. Very, very interesting.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. I thought we'd all get it. Yeah, I'm glad. And so what's your, who was your person that you were visualizing?
My aunt.
Really? Oh, great. That's
yes.
lovely.
Yeah, she's wonderful. And no matter what's going on in her life, she always makes others laugh. She's just so uplifting and very, very healing. I've had some of my best times in life with my aunt.
So that has a lot to say about what your female energy would be, that about being uplifting and funny, and also bringing about helping people,
yes,
feel.
And nurturing. I always felt safe. The environment, her home, always felt so safe. As a kid, I used to go and stay there in the school holidays. And I felt safe. I felt happy, uplifted, safe. And I always sought to create a similar environment in my home.
And in your work, maybe too, huh? For other people to feel safe and everything when you work with, and because of the work we do and what you do. Especially now that you're doing some of the stuff that's pretty interesting with the last, you know, your book came with the criminal. I mean, that's. You got to feel pretty safe to be able to be grounded enough to dwell into that, huh? Isn't that right, Stephen? Come on. I mean,
yeah. A lot of people say to me, did I find it troublesome to do that research? Mm-hmm. Did I find it troublesome energetically? And the answer was always no, because I believe that metaphysics should be used to solve problems. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I feel is that the more spiritual work you do, and the more you work to heighten your own spirituality, the more layers of energetic protection you have.
Exactly. That's excellent. Excellent articulating, and the verbiage was perfect, what you just said there. Absolutely. You know, so what about the male person? When she, Meister was saying, visualize a male person.
You know, I in life have had far better experiences of women than I have of men.
Right.
I think, in honesty, if I look at the men that I know well and have known well, I honestly would say, so far in life, my current partner, Hugo, because he's quite a lot younger than me, but I really admire him. He's a Buddhist.
Oh.
And he's very sort of gentle with people. He's very sociable. Very smart, very dedicated to his studies and his work. Mm. And I just admire him, even for silly things. Like he gets up really early in the morning and chants for an hour.
Yep. So he's committed.
Every day.
Committed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Committed.
Every day. And whenever he has a problem or I have a problem, he says, I'll transform it through chanting. And He's just a real magical character, to be honest.
So he sounds like maybe he's reached the, what my sister was calling the crone stage, where they're very non-judgmental. I mean, they're so much more, they've been through so much more and they're compassionate. That's interesting, Steve, listening to what you said, because actually both of those things are very equally blended and fused as far as what you said about your aunt and now this person, because... So those are the things, aspects within you, and that makes sense.
Yeah, I remember, Maureen, when I left my corporate role, I'd been traveling a lot, and I would come home, and one of my cats, Oscar, was always... He's always been very skittish. He's always been a scaredy cat. And because I was traveling so much, when I came home, he would hide, because he didn't realize who I was at times. I was away so much. And I remember after working much more from home for a year, I said to my colleague Denise, you know, Oscar's really become very gentle and loving. He's really changed. And she said, no, he hasn't. You have. And it's a great example of how our inner work, and I love that your sister used that term, our inner work, our transmutation, our efforts to become more golden, it shifts the world around us.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Oscar, I like that name on your cats, Oscar.
Oscar, Mutti, Tigger, Hermes, and Pluto.
Yeah, I didn't know. Okay. thank you, Steve, for sharing that. And also say hi to your kitty cats. Meow. I haven't heard
anything
else. So, Stephen, I guess I'll... Stephen, bring it to you.
Yeah. It's about that time to pass out the free... It's about it. Thank you, Maureen. It was about that time to pass out the call-in number to get your free on-air reading. The number is 724-444-4851. I repeat, the number is 724-444-4851. Please remember, each call is going to automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. So just relax and listen to the show while you wait and contemplate what you're going to ask when you get on the air, because we want you to be very clear and direct with your question. Because of the waiting time, we can only take one question per person. So we appreciate you cooperating with that. And again, that number is 724-444-4851. And we have a caller from New York for Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from New York?
Hi, this is Anne.
Hello, Anne. How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm great, thank you, Anne. How can we help you today?
There are two people at work, David and Justin. I'm really good friends with David and sometimes talk to Justin. And I've made some kind of sexual comments to them, not about them, but just off-color comments. And I want to know if I've, pushed them away.
I don't feel that you've pushed them away, to be quite honest with you. I do feel that you have to be careful in that work environment. I feel that they maybe feel a little bit uncomfortable because they're not sure where they stand professionally. In other words, if they respond or if they engage in that kind of conversation, whether that could be problematic for them. So I don't feel that they've taken it personally or that they're offended, Anne. I feel that they just feel unsure because of the professional environment. That's what I feel. But the other thing I feel for you, Anne, from my guides is really they say that, Anne, you know, just relax. You think a lot. You've got a very, very active mind, and you're always thinking about the future and this and that. And they really say to you, Anne, just be in the now. Stop thinking so much. Stop trying so hard. Really find peace and happiness within yourself. And, you know, enjoy each day and laugh off any stresses and problems. And you'll find that everything unfolds well for you. I don't feel that you would end up with one of these gentlemen. I'm actually drawn to the initial P. I'm drawn to the name Patrick. I'm not saying that for sure your partner would be called Patrick, but I'm drawn to that name. And but I feel it's particularly the P sound. And honestly, Anne, my guides say to you, the more you just sort of let go of everything, let go of any agenda, let go of trying... let go of worrying and overly thinking about things, and you'll find that everything just shifts. And they're saying, you know, a challenge for you is if in the remainder of this year you really can just let go of things, stop trying so hard, be happy, have fun, laugh, enjoy life, enjoy each moment, you'll find that next year things really shift for you. You'll find that by February life becomes a lot easier for you. Everything just flows and unfolds far more easily. But they do say that the ball is in your court. Okay?
Okay. Well, I just have this question. I mean, David usually comes up and talks to me on a regular basis during the day, and he didn't do that today. Does he feel uncomfortable doing that?
Well, he feels uncomfortable about his conduct at work. He feels that he's got to be very careful what he says, what he's heard saying, the kind of conversation he engages in. He feels concerned about how these things are construed in the work environment. So it's not about you personally. It's more his concern about getting into conversations that can be misconstrued or deemed inappropriate in work. So he worries a little about how he might be perceived and what the repercussions might be if he chooses to engage in a conversation that someone else might consider inappropriate. Do you understand?
Yeah, so how can I fix that? I mean, I still want him to come up and talk to
me.
How can I fix
that? Don't. My guides say, and don't try, don't fix, just be normal, speak with him in a normal manner, go back to normal, forget it, move forward, but understand that sort of conversation can make people feel uncomfortable in the sense that, you know, in the workplace, they don't want to be misunderstood. So that's what it's about here. But again, you stop trying so hard. Stop trying to fix things. Just relax. Don't worry about it. Don't even focus on it. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, Anne. Good luck.
All right. Thank you very much for calling, Anne. And thank you, Steve, for that reading. You can find Steve at psychicaccess.com. Now, we have a caller from Virginia for Dr. Nona Marie.
Hello. Hi, Virginia. What's your name?
My name is Lakevia.
Do you have a question?
Lakevia?
Oh, it's kind of breaking up there. Hard to hear you.
It's Lakevia. Can you hear me?
Okay, Nakavia, yes, thank you. What's your question?
Well, my question is, it's pertaining to my marriage. We've been going through, like, a rough period. We're separated, and I'm trying to see, like, what's ahead, you know? Like, what's ahead? That's it.
Mm-hmm. And what's his first name?
His first name is McCully, and his date of birth is 10/9/82.
Well, I would say to you that it's time for you to move on. It feels to me like he has another person already in his eyes, in his sight, so to speak, and that he is moving on. If he comes back to you, if you were to kind of force that to happen by pursuing him and keeping that door open, I would say to you that he would come back to you and yet not be faithful. In other words, he would come back to you, but he would have this other woman that he is placing his eye on. He would have her on the side. He is the kind of person that if you push him hard, he will cave. So if you were to push him to come back and try to make things work, he would do that. But he would also be dishonest about his situation. So,
well, that's his relationship. I don't trust him, and you know, I just don't trust him. You know, we got kids together, we got 10-year marriage, but I made a point now where I don't trust him because of the things that has happened, and I don't want to go through this again. I just want to move forward. You understand? Yeah. But I don't want to hurt my kids.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that. I am very glad to hear that because I think it's time for you to move on. Leave him be. And the sooner you can cut connections with him, the less pain that you will be in. As for you being in another relationship, there is actually somebody from your past who's kind of been waiting for you, who you have not been interested in before, but I think you will be interested in him this time around. But we're looking at about April or May before that connection starts. And it's a very nice man, and it will be a very good relationship for you if you decide to go down that path. The only problem will be is that sometimes you get a little bit bored with people, and you tend then to go towards people who create a little bit of trouble. So this new man is somebody that you might at first say, oh, he's too boring. You know, it's always the same. There's not enough going on in life with him. But I would say to you, in that relationship, you could be the one that brings the excitement into the relationship so that it could stay healthy rather than going out with a man who generates an unhealthy form of excitement for you. Does that make sense, what I'm saying, the example?
Right. Okay, you said he's someone in my past. Can you tell me a little more, like, who?
About the new person?
You said someone from my past?
Someone from your past who will be a new relationship for you. And it's someone that you knew from, it feels like, I want to say from high school days. Not necessarily from high school, but around that time period for you. And he was, back then, kind of a wild person. But now, when you meet him again next year, you might actually find him a little bit boring because he has really settled down and grown up, and he does not have that wild streak in him anymore. And because he had a wild streak in him when he was younger and he got in a lot of trouble, he really does tend to be very careful about not stepping over the line, so to speak. And that's why you may find him a little bit boring. He may seem a little bit overcautious, or he doesn't like to play enough, or he doesn't take enough chances. But in reality, he is a very fun person, but he needs some encouragement to do that again with knowing that he won't get in trouble with it, which is what he's done in the past. So
okay, because
I would say he...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
He will contact you, so it's not like you have to go and go searching for him. He's somebody who's going to hear through the grapevine that you are free, that you are available, and he will come looking for you.
Okay, so I will get a divorce. So me and my husband, we will get a divorce. We're not going to be together, and we'll move forward. But
he's gone. Your husband is gone. You could get him back if you, you know, tie a rope around him and drag him back. You could get him back, but you will hate him. Yeah. So I would say let him go, cease the conversations with him as quickly as you can, you know, cut the rope on it and leave it be. If you try to get into fights with him or ask him what he's doing and what's going on, those conversations will only be arguments. They will not be productive conversations, and he will not be truthful with you. So there's no point in asking him any questions.
Right.
He just will not come forward.
Because I feel like I'm growing. I'm at a point I grew throughout our marriage, and he's still stuck in the same place where he blames the past. He's still playing games, and I'm moving forward. You understand? So
yes. Like I said, I'm really glad to hear that. Very glad. And things will be getting better for you. And next year, they will be really good for you. But this year, they will be very good for you if you move forward.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much. You're awesome. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling, C.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for calling. And thank you, Dr. Nona Marie, for that reading. If you'd like to find Nona Marie, you can locate her at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a caller from from Florida, was it? Yes, Florida. Hello, hello, Florida.
Hello.
Hi, how are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How may I help you?
I wanted to know, I can't decide between my love life and my money. okay, I'll ask you this. When do you feel like, what do you feel like going comes for my finances?
Okay. So you want to know when there's going to be an improvement or a change in your finances, correct?
Yes, I would like to know that.
All right, well, 3 months from now, definitely, there's going to be a noticeable improvement in the finances. But if you're hoping it's going to be financial stability, that's not really going to be called. It doesn't really seem like there's any indication of that over the next 6 months. So what I'm seeing here is a fluctuation through the next half year, up and down, up and down. Sure, there's going to be money coming in, for example, on month number 3, which is October to November. Okay, there'll be money coming in, and in fact, it'll probably be one of the better months financially for you out of the next 6. But then by the end of the 6th month, month number 6, which is as we're getting into the new year, then it looks like there's going to be some trouble on the financial front, like some expenditures. So it's something that would reduce or nullify, or, you know, a situation where you're breaking even. So if once money does come in, then there'll probably be also some surprise expenditures where it's sort of like, you know, easy come, easy go type of a situation. You see what I mean? So that's what the next 6 months looks like financially. Now, I want to stress this to you. This isn't the wrath of God or the judgment of the cosmos coming down on you. This is what I'm telling you, is that this is how things are naturally going to unwind for you financially. Now, there's nothing stopping you from hanging up this phone all fired up and saying, you know, I'm going to prove that turkey wrong, and going out and getting a second job, or going out and, you know, doing something to get a second source of income. You're following me, right?
Yes.
Okay. Because as things stand right now, about the best I can promise is some fluctuation over the next 6 months. But for sure, month number 3 is going to be good. So, for example, if you decided to become more conservative in month number 3, because I see that the income, the influx of money is perhaps going to get, you know, maybe make you a little, I don't want to say aggressive, but a little taking initiative. You know, you probably want to go do things maybe, or spend it, what have you. So if you, you know, take the momentum of financial improvement in month number 3, August, October, November is month number 3, then, you know, that will reduce sort of the, what I see as being a negative month in month number 6. December, January, so as we start 2015, okay? And if you do that, then things will be going well. Also, I want to point out before we wrap up here that in month number 6, around January 2015, it looks like there might be some trouble on the job front as well. So between now and then, by all means, dot your I's and cross your T's, because you could be entering a period where your employer, or you know, it might be sort of making decisions as to maybe layoffs, for example. So all I can say for certain is that month number 6, January 2015, is going to be a crunch point for you. So let's prepare for that in advance by doing the best job you can, developing the best relationship you can with your boss, and also saving when you can as well. Because when money comes in, again, there's also going to be surprise expenditures. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you as well. Okay, now, let's see. We also have another caller from Florida for Maureen.
Thank you, Stephen. Hello, caller from Florida. May I have your name, please?
My name is Giselle.
Hi, and how are you?
I'm okay. I just wanted to know what you could tell me about my love life right now.
Well, because of the restraint of the short period of time I have for doing reading, I want to do the best one I can. If you could be a little bit more direct. So if you have someone in mind, you could ask me, because I'll give you a much better reading. With the
with me recently, I want to know what's going on.
You want to know what's going on?
What's next?
Okay. Are you with somebody right now? I guess I'm just going to be able to get to, is there somebody on your mind that you're thinking about? So when I...
Yeah, it's him, okay. Because he just broke up, so I want to know if it's temporary, if it's permanent.
Okay.
What do
it.
I do
That's
next?
Perfect.
When move on?
Okay, I got it. So you want to know if he's ever going to step it up and get it. I understand. You look like you're very angry about for good reason. There's some anger here. Okay. You know, I see. Okay, I see that you. There's something. There's a lot of rage. I see you, and then I see another woman, and it's almost like there's something about the family. Have you been with him for a while? Does your family know him and all that kind of stuff? This person that you were talking about?
We worked together for a long time.
Okay, so is there a sister in this family that he's a sister? I see a sisterly person who's having a rough time. There's issues going on. I just feel there's something about you're angry because you're not being included within some of the stuff. I feel you're heading in a direction, even though I do see you being angry, and I'm not saying you're a mean person or, you know, this is just who you are, but I feel that there's some pretty good reason, or you're not feeling like you're listened to. So it's like you're feeling angry, and there's been a lot of your connection with this person is very strong as far as psychically. You know, it's like you could not be talking on the phone or texting or what people do, but you could feel it when you're feeling him through abnormal means or unnormal means through the air. You have a really good sense of each other. But I do feel there's stuff in the family that's keeping – there's stuff going on here that's keeping your relationship keeping it on the side. And I see it coming up in the next 4 weeks. I could be off on my time, but within the next 4 weeks, I do see a choice that you'll be able to be up against. And it looks like in March or April recently, you tried to regroup your agreement or reestablish yourselves, and it didn't work out. So my feeling, what I'm seeing here is you're not done for. However, there's so much incompletion. There's so much sorting out here that has to do. But it's not just because his lack of not wanting to be with you or not caring about you. I'm not trying to say he doesn't have it together. He doesn't have it very clear, his priorities clear, or where his energy lies within family or within a relationship with you. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So with that said, I don't feel he's a bad person, but the incompletion just keeps surrounding the situation. But I do feel that you have a choice, and I feel that no matter what everybody else is saying on the outside, I feel that I see new beginnings. I see enthusiasm for this relationship. It's going to be 4 weeks, going to be a little difficult, and it's going to be a little bit of a difficult time, but a lot of things need to be sorted out that have yet to be. that are easy, but I feel that he really cares about you. He's just having a rough time. Family dynamics are bringing it into, it's interfering a little bit. I would just flow with it if you can. I don't see anybody else he's interested in or anything like that. I don't see anything like
but,
that.
You mentioned another woman. I mean, yes, there is another woman.
There is another woman?
But I don't know if...
No, yeah, I saw that as a sisterly figure. Like, that's why I asked you about his family. I didn't see this as another woman that he's involved in loving and caring. You know what I mean? Cheating. I didn't feel that she has her role as that. It's just a female that I feel is family feeling connected, who's having a rough time. You know, some people don't get what your needs are and you're in a relationship, but they go towards, you know, what, their family instead of help. You know what I mean? And then you feel like you're kind of left out. That's what I was feeling this woman reflected. I don't see it to be somebody that he's interested in.
I mean, he told me that he is another girl that he has feelings for. So that's,
Well, you know what? He may say that and you look very angry, but there's something going on there. I don't feel that that's the – this is just what I'm seeing. I don't see that to be the case. Whether he said it or not, he's trying to get a reaction from you. I'm not clear on that. You two are not done by all means. I do see you working it out. It's going to be a little bit difficult. I want to say something here with you. It's been a very hard time for you way before he came in the picture as well. And I do feel that you can get really hard on yourself. And I want you to know that's no good thing. That's no good will come from that because – he's having some insecurity issues. I just don't, there's something happening. And I would suggest if you're open to it, if you've known each other and long enough to go to counseling, maybe seek out someone if he's interested. I see you reconnecting in a much better way and moving forward. I don't see anybody else that he's really interested in, but, you know,
I hope so. I mean, it's been a while, so I hope so.
I know, but I want you to know to take care of yourself, because it looks like you can get really down on yourself and nobody would know it. And I know he should be there for you. He's just not capable. I do feel that he's going to step it up. In the next 4 weeks, things will start looking a little bit different and a little bit better, but it's going to be a little bit of a journey for the next few months. But I do see a reconnection, a new agreement, much better, like starting fresh.
I hope so.
Okay. I hope I helped you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Yes, I hope I helped you. And take care and be good and kind to yourself, okay? Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for that, Maureen. You can find Maureen at psychicaccess.com. Now we have a caller from Nebraska for Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from Nebraska?
Hello.
Hi there. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Teresa. How are you tonight?
I'm great, Teresa. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Thank you.
Good.
My question is, I think I need to go with health. I'm wearing a heart monitor as we speak, but I'm a little worried because I don't know whether that means surgery or if I should be more. My mom, she suggested them looking at my artery.
Sorry, I didn't understand the first part of your question.
Health. I think I need to go with health.
Health.
Yeah, health.
You're asking about health?
Yeah, health. You know,
okay.
My welfare. I'm sorry. I'm on a mic.
Yes, sorry. So far I've understood you're asking about health, and then I think you said welfare. Is that correct?
Yes.
So what's your question?
Do I have any immediate reason to worry about my health?
Well, I don't. I mean, you've got to remember that even as metaphysicians, we go to doctors, you know? So
I certainly
inquire about my health metaphysically. I look at my progressed astrology and I tune into myself, but I still go for my regular checkups with my doctor. And I go and get my, you know, get blood tests done and stay on top of things that way. So I would never encourage you to only inquire about your health metaphysically or in a reading. I would always say, well, go to the doctor and ask. Now, that said, I do feel that you need to be focused on health. So I feel that you're right to be thinking about health and asking this kind of question. I can't tell you exactly what your health challenges might be, but we all have weaker parts of the physical body. I don't feel that you have something dreadfully wrong with you, but I do feel that at this point in time you need to be really proactive with health, and you know it makes good sense to go to the doctor and get a really thorough checkup. Have you done that, or are you planning to do that?
Yeah, right now I'm wearing a heart monitor.
Oh, okay.
They're checking my heart, and that's why I was kind of worried. I kind of had a premission or I don't know, I was working out one day and I kind of got a flash of my ex-boyfriend standing over my coffin, and then I seen him instead standing over my hospital bed.
Well, okay.
Like
now,
quick.
Let me say these things to you. First of all, you've got to remember that premonitions we have and dreams we have are not necessarily to be interpreted literally. That can be your higher self indicating to you that you need to be focused on health, that you need to get yourself checked out, and that you need to really do everything you can to get into the best shape possible. So don't think that it means that you've got a life-threatening problem. It, in my mind, it means yes, you need to focus on that. I feel that there are there have been heart issues in your family history. So it's not just you. If you ask in the family, you'll find that this is a theme. So I do feel that you need to be proactive. But I honestly wouldn't take that premonition literally. I've had premonitions, and if I take them literally, I could have talked myself into all kinds of problems.
Right.
They're usually a warning sign, you know? Yeah.
You know, I just look at them as little warnings, maybe little eye openers.
Yes. Absolutely.
Right. I was just curious, you know, whether the guides, you know, because it feels like I've been told that I was a light worker, but then it just feels like I got stopped, you know,
stopped. That's a different question. So, I mean, I can't answer a second question for you because we have a lot of people waiting.
No.
But if you call us at Psychic Access, because we can look at that second question for you, and you get 6 minutes for free. That's enough time for us to look at your question about light work. But in answer to your initial question, yes, you need to be proactive. You need to take care of your heart. But we all need to do that. But obviously, it sounds like you especially need to be proactive at this time. And if you've got the heart monitor, then you're on the right track to figure out if there are any irregularities there. And also remember that in this day and age, there are wonderful treatments and procedures. The knowledge that our medics have is wonderful. So, you know, don't talk yourself into a problem. And do remember that the thoughts that you allow, the focus that you have, these things are constantly creating. So don't talk yourself into a problem. Focus on healing and being well, and follow your doctor's advice. Okay?
Right. Thank you. And I'm sending out love and light to everyone.
To you too. You too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that reading, Steve. You can find Steve at psychicaccess.com. Now we have a caller from Ohio for Nona.
Sherry.
Hi. Who's this?
Why?
Hello. Sorry, your name?
Sherry.
Hi, Sherry. How can I help you tonight? What's your question?
Well, I want to see if you see anything good for me instead of bad stuff.
Well, we have a very short call time tonight because we have a lot of people waiting. Can you be more specific about what area of your life or what you're hoping will be good? Money,
well,
career, health?
Have you seen any money coming my way soon?
I'm sorry, did you say health?
No, money coming my way soon. Money.
I think you already know the answer to this, but money is not something that is unfolding for you well in the near future. You've got about a year and a half to 2 years of really tightening your belt down, and also I would suggest looking for other ways of making income. I think there are some other ways available to you, but it does feel to me that you're a little reluctant to explore them. There is a part of you that is quite strong, and you do get a little bit kind of set in your ways sometimes. So I would say the reason that the money is not coming in is we are always learning lessons, and a lot of times the universe has to really push us to learn a lesson. So it feels to me like what's happening is you are getting pushed a little bit beyond your limits so that you kind of get out of the box of your thinking about how you should be in life and how life should be treating you. In other words, there are ways for you to make money, but there's a part of you that is not willing to explore some of those options. And in general, I would say you've gotten a little bit set in your ways in life in general. So this is the universe's way of trying to kind of wake you up and shake you up, and that happens to all of us. We get squeezed hard enough that we change. So I would say to you, go with changes. Start looking for options. Start doing things differently than what you've been doing.
Yeah, I bought a truck, and I shouldn't have bought it because I'm so far in debt now. I should just be bankrupt, and that would help me in the long run.
Will the bankruptcy help you?
Yeah, that's what I should do. I got a 2002 truck, and I can't really make the payment for it. Broke down. This got it back. There's still money on top of it. Money on top of it. I should do bankrupt and send it back.
So are you asking me that? If you...
Yeah. Shouldn't I go bankrupt and go, find something cheaper to drive?
I think that you need to scramble to do everything you can to make some money right now. Not kill yourself, you know, not go crazy, not do anything horrible, but I think you're being asked to kind of rise to the challenge here. And very often when we are pushed to our limit, we discover another part of ourselves that is quite strong and quite beautiful. And in a way, you have given up on yourself. And this hard time is going to help you find another part of yourself that you forgot that you have, an inner strength that you have. And that is often the case when we hit a hard time. We discover inner resources. We discover parts of ourselves that we don't even know exist. And I believe that is why this is happening to you. There's not going to be an easy answer for this, and there's not a quick and simple solution. But the one piece of advice that I would give you is, when we don't know what to do, the one thing we know not to do, do not do what we have been doing in the past. There's a definition of insanity. We do the same thing over and over and expect different results. So one thing we can do when we're lost and confused, aside from praying for guidance, is to try new things. So I would suggest to you that you look around. I believe you will find a situation for yourself that will give you financial relief, not in the way that you want it, but in a way that will work for you and change you and make you a better person. I would look for situations of taking care of property, being a caretaker of property, running a resort, being a property manager, someplace where you can live and interact with people. And I know that's not something that's your life's dream, but I think something along that line will give you a tremendous amount of security and will actually turn out to be something you enjoy quite a bit and will get you through this time period. So I would say work with that for now. And if you get stuck, call back to Psychic Access again in the future and talk to one of the readers there and see, go into more detail about how your plan is working out, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, Tariyar. Thanks for calling in, and best of luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for that. If you would like a reading from Dr. Nona Marie, please find her at psychicaccess.com. I have a caller from New Jersey. Hello, New Jersey.
Hi, yes.
How are you this evening?
I'm doing better.
Well, how may I help you?
Well, I'm having relationship problems, and I just wanted to know where are we going from here?
Okay.
Are we going separate ways?
Okay. One second while I pick up on your relationship, okay?
Good.
I tell you what. Ultimately, I think by the time the smoke clears, I do believe that you two will drift apart. I think that you're going to give it a shot. I think that there might be a hint of sunshine and a happy ending here, but... What I see unfolding right now is that one or the other, or both of you, someone in this relationship is very fixated on past mistakes somehow. It doesn't even matter whether those mistakes are big or small, real or imaginary. What matters is that somebody, either yourself or him, or both, are fixated on this, on certain problems in the relationship, and I see that this is going to come back always, and destroy the relationship. This fixation, this ability, this sort of almost like a stubborn refusal to forgive. Well, you remember that time back in 2008 when you did X, Y, and Z, and it's always that sort of a story. So this sort of attitude is going to be the cause of your relationship's destruction. Now, again, like I said to some other callers tonight, what I'm saying here, this isn't like the law coming down from Mount Sinai. Now, I'm just telling you the mechanics of the disease that's making this relationship sick. Now, the best thing that you can do is to shift away from that dynamic. you know, shift it. Once you, if it's yourself that I'm talking about here, who's always remembering the past and reminding the partner of his mistakes, then you can change that behavior and get a better result from your relationship, and it doesn't have to be separating. Or if it's him, then you can encourage him to stop fixating on the past or worrying about a past mistake, or, you know, in other words, somebody has to forgive if this relationship is going to go forward. And this, you know, this affects the statistics, your chances here, because if it's your partner who's the one who's having a hard time forgiving, you know, how can you force him to forgive you? You know, you can't. The only person you can control is yourself. So that's what we got going on here, okay? I wish you the best of luck in this.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you as well, and God bless. Thank you very much. Okay, let's see. We're moving on here. I know we have some more callers. Somebody help me out here.
Maureen. Yeah, California.
All right.
Sorry, thank I you. Thought maybe. Okay. Here I am. Hello, California. May I have your name, please? Hello, California. California, I'm going to start singing the song, you know, joining me at California.
It's hey, California.
Maureen. Hi.
Hi, it's Octavia.
Oh, this is my gosh, can't believe you got me. Hi, Octavia. That's so lovely. How are you?
How are you? I love your fine. Show.
Thank you. I'm so glad that you made it in tonight. It was perfect timing. You were supposed to come tonight. And I love it. And I'm glad you called too. And although I don't have a lot of time, because, you know, everybody, she's a family member, like from, I don't know how far we're detached from whatever, but your family. Well, Octavia, but I don't know your life very well, so this is even better. So what can I help you with? Help you with.
Okay. Maureen, I have a terminal illness, and I'm really worried about my children, especially Gabe, my son. My son has autism.
Right.
And I wanted to know if he's going to get into college and how he's going to do and if he's going to be okay. Is he going to be able to live independently? And am I going to get to see him launch?
What'd you say? Get this? The what? The
am I going to get to see him?
I see what you're saying, because I know that there's some stuff going on, because I know a little bit about you. I got it. Yeah, because there's the concern with your. This is what I'm getting, and even though I'm short on time, I'm going to do the best I can to help you with this. You know, I really see right now you. I see you being very fused, very grounded, and very blended with anything. I also there's so much. I feel there's so much good health around you. I know what's going on. But all in all, I absolutely see that your son, I see your son rising to the occasion. I see there's going to be some legal something that may not look very favorable, but it's going to turn around because I see some money, fear of poverty no longer will be the case, because sometimes it's nicer to have some funds to help things along, to make things more comfortable for any particular reason. And your son is very interesting. Absolutely, he's going to be quite the young man. He's going to be heading in a direction. I see you seeing this. You'll be right around it. I see him going through this. How old is he right now?
Just turned 17.
Okay, I'm seeing him into his 20s. I usually don't, but I'm seeing him along the way. He's a beautiful, beautiful soul, and he's very. He's going to interact fine. He's intelligent. He also is not only that, he's sensitive, and he's authentic, and he's honest and real, and he's romantic looking. He looks like he's going to be interested in everything, and it looks like he's able to manifest everything from above, I call God or whatever you want to call it, from our above, and manifest it into his physical world. He'll, for whatever reasons, he'll have the tools, or he's going to be utilizing them. He's quite something special. I don't see you on another plane looking at this. I see you presently in the physical world watching this.
Oh, great.
It's really good. No matter, keep yourself around people that are really positive.
A lot of relief. I when it comes time for me to pass and go on to the next area, I don't know what PC, but it would just be very, very difficult not knowing, you know, how my kids are going to do, especially.
I know. I get, and it's really uncomfortable. But you know what? You do feel like there's such a good light inside of you right now. Right now, at this, to be in the now right now. I see much positive. I know that you want to be realistic. People go, well, that's just ridiculous. But I see you observing this right alongside of him getting, I see him in his, going into his 20, late 20s, heading towards that direction. Also, I want to say, Octavia, it's so important to not be around anybody that is manipulative or brings you down or tells you like what you're supposed to be, because it's not, everybody's different in their situations, no matter what, okay? It's really important to have no people interfering.
Well, I don't have to leave our family.
Yeah, well, you know, that just take them out. You know, anyway, I hope I helped you. I know, because I need to go now. But
thank you. And what's so cool about your reading is that you're more credible because you often tell people things I know they don't want to hear.
Yeah,
and,
maybe.
And that really, really makes you credible.
You're so sweet. I can't wait to meet you someday in person, considering we're family.
Oh, I appreciate you. And, you know, we have that connection from the beginning. I think that when we do meet in person, it's going to be like seeing an old friend rather than meeting someone for the first time.
Exactly. Well, Octavia, come back again to the show. Please do. I love
Thanks,
seeing you.
Thanks, Maureen.
Okay, bye-bye.
My love. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for calling, Octavia, and by all means, do come back. And for those listening, you can find Maureen at psychicaccess.com. Give her a call. You'll be glad that you did. We have a caller from Massachusetts for Steve.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
One second, sir. We're trying to get Steve here. I think we're having a bit of a technical glitch. Hello, Steve. I think Steve's trying to talk, but we can't hear him. One second. I think we got him now. Hello, Steve.
Can you hear me now? Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, there you are. All right.
I'm sorry. I don't know why. This happened last week as well. I don't know why my sound went out. I haven't changed anything. Well, Massachusetts, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Great. What's your name?
My name is Stephen.
Hello, Stephen. How can we help you?
I'm looking to make an inquiry as to what field I'll be going into. I'm unemployed and I'm looking for work. I want to know what field I'll be going into.
Let's see. Well, I feel that you've got a choice, Stephen. I don't feel that you should just presume that there's one field of work that would be suitable for you. You're a talented man, and there are different options. I'm actually drawn to the fall time. I'm drawn to October for you. So I don't feel that it's too long for you to wait. I feel that you're a very practical man. You're practical in the sense that you're somebody that's very good with things like construction and you know, using different materials, combining different materials and things like that. So I feel probably the right opportunity for you is something very pragmatic like that. I'm not saying construction industry necessarily, but I feel very drawn to your practical and artistic abilities and talents. I don't feel that you will stay in the role that you're going to take. I feel that you would probably do that for a couple of years. I feel from connecting with you right now that actually you would work for yourself. I feel that you would work for a business, an organization in the near term, but then that you would probably go off in your own direction in a couple of years' time, or possibly combine the two. But you're a guy that's very creative, very talented, and I feel that you should look at different opportunities. I know it might sound strange, but I keep on seeing trees, and I'm not saying that you would you know, work in a forest or something like that, but I'm drawn to trees, and I'm seeing
properties as well. So I'm not sure whether it's renovation of properties or something like that, but this is what I'm seeing. I feel that this is relevant to you. And again, my guides are pointing to a scene that it's surrounded by trees, but they point to the trees as well as to the property. But as I said, I feel there's plenty of opportunity for you, and I feel that you'll be successful by October. Okay?
Okay.
And I wish you the best, Stephen.
Thank you very much, and say and give your staff my regards.
Thank you very much. Will do.
Okay, bye bye.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stephen, for sending us your regards. We send you our regards as well. And thank you very much, Steve, for that excellent reading. You can find Steve at psychicaccess.com. Unfortunately, for those of you still waiting on the line, I apologize, but we're not going to be able to make it to you this week. By all means, please join us next week, next Thursday, and we'll do our level best to get you on the air and answer your question then. So, next week, I have Nona Marie. Is it your show next week?
Absolutely, yes, it is.
What do you have planned for us?
We have a wonderful remote healer, Dr. Art Carno, who is a chiropractor by training originally, and then moved into remote healing. And he currently lives in Kuala Lumpur and works with people all over the globe. I met him when he started working on my horses, and as we know, horses can't fake symptoms, and they can't fake getting better. And he did amazing, amazing work on my horses and many other horses, and I became a devoted fan of his and have known him since about 2001, and I just think he's phenomenal. He's also going to give our listeners some tips on how to work with their own energy, some little things they can do every day to activate their energies and balance themselves out. So I'm very excited to talk to him on the air.
Excellent, excellent. I'm excited as well, and our listeners should be too. Next week, a little do-it-yourself psychic work for the curious. Outstanding. Well, that brings us to the end of another wonderful show. I'd like to thank Doug, who works hard behind the scenes to keep all the rest of us on track as our executive producer. And I'd also like to thank my very talented co-hosts for being here with us all tonight and making this just such a wonderful, wonderful place to be on Thursday evenings. Everyone, have a great week, and we'll see you next Thursday.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.